Blog Talk Radio.
Denise Griffiths is your partner in success. Tune in each Friday as virtual assistants, industry expert, web developer, and online entrepreneur Denise Griffiths interviews industry experts from one end of the internet to the other. These expert entrepreneurs freely share their business building knowledge and provide practical guidance that will show you how to build and grow your own very successful business, be it online or traditional brick and mortar. Now, ladies and gentlemen, your partner in success, Denise Griffiths.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to your Partner in Success Radio. This is our first show of 2012, and I am delighted to welcome to your Partner in Success Radio a friend of mine, a colleague, and somebody who I really, really like to follow in the world of web development, Ben Cope, the Internet Genius. He is a web developer, he is a marvelous WordPress expert, and he's got a lot to share. Today we are talking about mobile marketing. And with that, I am going to welcome Ben, and we're going to get started because we have a ton of things to talk about. Good morning, Ben, and welcome to the show.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
I can. I have to admit, I had trouble getting on the line, and we didn't have a chance to chat in the green room, so to speak, before the show. So here we are, and thank goodness for that. So I'm so glad you're here, and thank you for helping me kick off 2012.
My pleasure. I'm excited to talk about mobile marketing because I think it's such a huge topic, and I know it's probably so much information that we're going to have to do a follow-up on next Friday so we can finish everything, because there's a ton of information to go through and talk about and share with everybody.
I agree, and I've already scheduled you for next week because of that. I think this needs to be at minimum a two-part show or possibly a three-part show, depending on how much we get through today, because we have a lot of actionable information. So anybody who is listening in now or who will be downloading and listening in later, grab your pen, grab your paper, grab your Word document, grab something and take notes, because there's a lot of really good information. So Ben, I'm going to let you just start because I know your topic and I know that you have a lot to introduce to our audience, so feel free.
All right, well, let's just dive right in. We're going to start with the topic of what is mobile marketing, and then we're going to move into why is mobile marketing important? Why is it important to have a mobile-friendly website? We'll talk about the difference between mobile websites and mobile apps, and which one do you really need? And then we're going to talk about, and some of this we'll have to follow up with on next Friday's call, but just to give you a big picture overview of what we're talking about and why it's so important. We're also going to talk about WordPress and mobile websites. We're going to address some of the common questions that people have about mobile websites. And then I guess the real useful practical information that we'll share with you are information that you can use to make your mobile website user-friendly, the 10 best practices that you should take into consideration when creating a mobile website or evaluating whether your website is indeed truly mobile-friendly. So to start off with, we're going to look at what is mobile marketing. Well, according to Wikipedia, mobile marketing is meant to describe marketing on or with a mobile device, such as a cell phone, using SMS marketing, which is text message marketing. But it's actually much bigger than that, because with the introduction of tablet computers and tablet PCs and devices like the iPad and the Kindle Fire and other devices, there are really three separate areas of mobile marketing. You've got mobile phones like the iPhone and the smartphones, the Android devices, the BlackBerrys. Then you've also got the tablet devices like the iPad and the Kindle Fire. And then a third area of that would be text message marketing. Even people who don't have an actual smartphone that is capable of browsing internet pages, websites, 75% of the people that have a cell phone at all have at least a text-capable cell phone. They're capable of receiving text messages. And so text message marketing actually falls under mobile marketing. So we're not just talking about mobile websites, but also text marketing in general. And according to the Mobile Marketing Association, which is one of the largest industry groups in mobile marketing, they define mobile marketing as a set of practices that enables organizations to communicate and engage with their audience in an interactive and relevant manner through any mobile device or network. And I love that definition for so many reasons. First of all, because it kind of sets the groundwork for what mobile marketing is all about. It's twofold. Number one, mobile marketing is about communication. But more importantly, mobile marketing is also about engagement. And that's the most critical piece of mobile marketing that I think business owners need to understand about mobile marketing. It's not just a one-way form of communication. Mobile marketing at its core is all about engagement and community. So it's not just a way for you to disseminate information in a one-way fashion where you post broadcasts on a website or by text message, but it's more about the engagement, getting your followers, your fans, your customer base to actually engage with the message that you're communicating. And that's really what mobile marketing is all about.
And I think that is so important because, as you know, my cell phone spends most of its life in my car. I hate the darn thing. I hate it. I really do. Largely because I'm so easy to reach. You know, I've got a toll-free number. My clients reach me at all hours. I think the only source of control I have in my life anymore is to take that cell phone and hide it. So it doesn't occur to me, and it should, because I'm a highly technical person, but it never occurred to me that my cell phone could be a source of engagement. I found it to be a source of annoyance. So
yeah,
I think we need to talk about that too. How do you make that, you get that hurdle? How do you get past people like me who are going, really? You just texted, really? Stop it. To going, oh, that is darn cool.
Yeah, that's a really important point. Mobile technology and smartphones are kind of like the technology that people love to hate. You know, 80% of people that have a smartphone report getting on their smartphone while they're watching TV.
I've seen that.
You ask people about, you know, leaving home without their cell phone. Nowadays, it's like leaving home without your wallet. People carry their cell phone everywhere, and they're using it all the time. And particularly when it comes to local searches, people that are looking to buy something, people that have a smartphone, according to Google research, 79% of smartphone users have used their phone to help them make shopping decisions. So they're either comparing prices, or they're searching for more product information, or they're locating an actual retailer. So this is a huge thing. And that underscores the importance of why it's important for especially local businesses to consider having a mobile-friendly website or being active in mobile marketing.
And that makes perfect sense, Ben. I mean, yesterday I opened up my front door, walked outside, immediately stumbled over the yellow book. Ticked me off. Does anybody really mess with that thing anymore? I mean, first of all, I stubbed my toe on it. Second of all, and I'm not a green person, really, so to speak, but, you know, I really don't believe in just sending out stuff that is unnecessary. I do turn off the lights. I don't run unnecessary water. You know, I try to be careful, but to me, that is just a bunch of printing that probably shouldn't have been done.
Yeah. The Yellow Pages advertising is...
Okay, get closer to the phone. I think I just lost you.
I think Yellow Pages advertising is going the way of the dinosaur. You know, I get a page phone book and it goes right into the recycling bin.
Well, that's where this one went.
Maybe for some markets, the Yellow Pages still work. But like any form of advertising or marketing, you've got to stay current. And people are actually using their smartphones more and more frequently when they're searching for things online. In fact, according to another research study, by the year 2013, more people will be using mobile phones than desktop computers to get online.
Really? So now, by mobile, do you mean mobile phones exactly, or do you mean other? We were talking about, again, we were talking about this yesterday. Kindle Fire, you can get online. Your tablets, you can get online. So does that encompass all of that group, or do you mean mobile phones like BlackBerry, iPhone, Android?
We're talking about all mobile devices. That includes the iPad and smartphone devices.
Okay. Yeah, I wanted to clarify that. Okay.
So it's a really important thing. So, and think about how you use your personal smartphone or your mobile device. What are you searching for? How are you using that device? I think in 2012, smartphones and tablets are becoming more and more common. They're no longer just for the tech-savvy. They're becoming more and more mainstream. And a lot of big-box retailers have already been taking advantage of mobile marketing for a long time. But now it's becoming easier for the everyday small business entrepreneur to take advantage of some of the same technology that used to cost thousands of dollars to deploy and put out, things like mobile coupons and mobile apps and mobile websites, QR codes, which we'll talk about as well. It's so easy to get started with mobile marketing. It doesn't have to break the bank. There are cost-effective solutions for making it happen, whether you're a do-it-yourself person or whether you're looking to hire somebody to actually take care of that stuff for you. It's very cost-effective.
And one thing about mobile marketing is that you can reach your customers pretty much immediately, unless you have somebody like me who hides their phone. But for the most part, you reach them right away, don't you?
Yeah.
So you're communicating in real time.
Because people carry their mobile phones with them everywhere they go, if, let's say, you send them a text message, 90% of all text messages are read within 3 minutes of being delivered by the actual
phone. Really?
So, I mean, that's a huge number. There's no way you can get that kind of open rate even on an email broadcast.
No, you can't.
So much
you're lucky if you get 10%.
And it gets crowded and, you know, yeah, you're lucky to get 10% of people to actually even open your email. But with text message marketing, that's called push notifications, either through a mobile app or through sending an actual text message, SMS marketing. The statistics, they say 90% of these messages are read within 3 minutes. How many times that you get a text message, how long does it take you to open or at least look at the message? Even if you're in the middle of a meeting, you're at least going to glance down and look at and read the message. And see what it is.
My goodness. So and this is going to be a big question. Some people are going to say, well, I have a product, I've got a store, you know, and we're talking about local right now. I have a little store, I've been here for years, I've got a dry cleaners establishment, but I don't necessarily have a website. Can I go mobile?
Absolutely. Even if you don't have a website, a business can be found in local searches. And the first place that I would start, obviously you need to establish a web presence if you expect to compete in this market in today's economy. If you're not on the internet and you're serious about your business, then you really need to establish some kind of a web presence. Another place that you definitely...
And Ben, let's back up just a little bit, because some people may say, oh my gosh, because they instantly think, oh, that's thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. It can be, depending on what you need. But you can also establish what we term a brochure website, which is basically two or three pages. It's who you are, it's your about page, it's your contact page, what are your hours. It's a brochure. Think of the trifold that you've had forever or that you pick up from businesses. That's what it is. It's just online.
Yeah, it is. And one of the common questions that people have about mobile websites is, do I have to have two completely separate versions of my website? And the answer is no. You do not have to have two separate websites. You can create a single WordPress website to manage all of your content And then there are ways that you can create automatically a mobile version of your existing website using WordPress, so that when somebody loads your site on a mobile device, it will automatically detect that they're on a mobile device, and it will show them the mobile version of your website. So you don't have to have two separate, completely separate websites at all. And that's another way that you can save money.
Now, the mobile version is not going to look exactly like your primary website, though, is it?
No, it's not. But again, that's it's not going to look exactly the same, but I would recommend that you carry the same branding, that it at the very least have the same look and feel as your regular website. Mobile devices are really small screens, and there's two things that you'll notice when you load a normal website on a mobile device. Number one, it probably takes a lot longer to load, and number two, the text is going to be a little bit small. So people are going to have to pinch and zoom and scroll left and right and up and down to actually read content. And a lot of people are used to that already on mobile devices. But once they've discovered mobile-friendly websites, the vast majority of smartphone users will create an impression of a business based on the usability of their mobile website. So that's why it's important to have a website that is user-friendly in mobile devices. And it is important to create the same look and feel. You want to create a consistent message across your regular website and the mobile website. And there are important things to have on a mobile website that should be prominently featured as soon as your page loads. For example, the contact information, the Google map and directions, that kind of thing. Because people that are searching for your business on a mobile device, what exactly are they searching for? They're either trying to find more information about the products you offer, or they want to find out where you are and how do you get there, or they want to be able to call you. And making that easy for them to do directly from the home page of your site is a good thing.
Mm-hmm. So basically, you can assume that they're on the road, they're looking for you, they want to know where you're at, what your office hours are, and find a map.
Right, exactly. Right. You want to make...
Go ahead, I'm sorry?
You want to make it easy for people not only to find you, but also for people to buy from you or contact. And if it's difficult for them to do that, then most people who get frustrated with a mobile site are going to give up or find another provider, another service, another business.
Right. So what are the things that people, if they have, let's assume that they're a local business and they have a website, what are the things that they should do when they take their mobile phone or their mobile device and they go look at their own website? What are they looking for?
Well, there are a couple of different websites that can actually analyze your existing website and tell you how it will perform in mobile devices. But specifically what you're looking for to determine, is your website mobile friendly? You want to look and see, do you see any broken images or missing content? A lot of times this can be caused because of the file size of the pages. Regular websites that are loading in desktop computers, the file size of those pages can be much larger because a lot of people have broadband internet connections and they download stuff really fast. But on mobile devices, the file size of your pages is critically important. And a lot of times, if the page is excessively large, some items won't even download, or content will be missing from the page because it didn't fully download. Remember, not everybody is on a 3G network. Some people are still on ultra-slow edge network, you know, connections, just depending on who their provider is and where they're accessing your site from. So that's the first thing. Do you see any broken images or missing content? Second, can you read the text without having to zoom or scroll? If you're loading a normal-sized website on an iPhone screen, the text is going to be so microscopically small that there's no way to read it without actually zooming in on it or scrolling left and right and up and down. And then third are the links and the buttons on your website. Can they be clicked with a thumb? People use mobile devices with their fingers. They touch and slide and click. And your mobile website has to be thumb-friendly. Are the graphics or the buttons large enough that somebody could very easily click on a link with their thumb? And a lot of just plain text links are so small that the only way to really click on them is to zoom in really far, and then it's big enough that you can actually touch it with your thumb. So if the links on your website can't actually be clicked on with a person's fingers or thumb, then your website's not mobile friendly. And then also, is your location and phone number clearly visible on your mobile site? If people have to search for that on a mobile site, then you've kind of defeated the purpose of having a mobile website, because that's a lot of times that's what people are actually looking for anyways, either your location or your phone number so that they can contact you.
And I know that you had said we had a talk about this earlier. Can the mobile phone be clicked, and can the phone number in the mobile website be clicked to initiate a call? Explain that to people who may have never heard of that.
So what this means is, in a normal website, when you click on a link, it takes you to another page on the website. So you might have a big button that says, you know, contact me, and they click on it and it takes them to the contact page. Well, in a mobile-friendly website, you could have a phone number that's either a graphic or a button, or it could just be plain text. But when a person actually clicks on that number inside of their mobile device, it will actually launch their phone and ask them, do you want to call? And then literally they can call you with two clicks. They touch the button to call, and then they click OK, make this call. And then your phone will be ringing with that person. So that's what it means by making a phone number clickable to initiate a call. And there are ways to create, there's a special type of link that you can create in a mobile website so that all a person has to do is literally touch the button and it will initiate the call to whatever phone number you want.
And, of course, anything that is going to create ease of use is going to be attractive.
Yeah, ease of use is incredibly important. The easier it is for people to use your site, the more likely they are to buy from you.
Right. Okay, so let's talk just really quickly about why you need a mobile-friendly website. You know, mostly for local businesses, but I don't want to really just define this as a local business call, because we're talking about anybody who's in business. People like me and you who are virtual, people who are local, people who may be straddling that line and doing both. The mobile-friendly website, I think, is critical for just about anybody who is doing business on the web, yes?
It really is, and especially if you're a local business, for sure, but certainly every business could benefit from having a web presence in mobile devices. 93% of all smartphone users use location-based apps to find information about businesses and attractions in their area. So that's why it's critically important for local businesses, because the number of searches that are related to location on mobile devices is a lot higher than desktop searches. But again,
I guess that makes sense, and I hadn't thought about that. I have to be honest with you, because I'm tied to my desk, and I really had not even considered that, and I should. That's information I should have.
Yeah, absolutely. But the reason you need a mobile-friendly website is to make it easy for people to find you when they're doing a search, but also making it easy for people to buy from you, to contact you, to find more information about the products or services that you offer. It's all about making it easy for them to connect with you. And if your website is mobile-friendly, they're a lot more likely to engage with you, especially if you're coming up in the search results. And I don't think anybody has the algorithm that Google uses to rank websites, and it's constantly changing. But I know for a fact that one factor affecting your position in the search results is how user-friendly is your website in a mobile device. When it comes to search engine optimization, there are all kinds of factors, and I always use the analogy, it's kind of like a credit score, because people understand that it's a combination of your credit history and your payment history and your debt to available credit ratio and the types of accounts you have open. All of these go into calculating your credit score. Well, with search engine optimization, it's the same thing. It's not one single thing that's going to bring you to the very top of the search engines. It's a combination of several factors. And one of those factors is having a mobile-friendly website. I think Google will reward you. I can't say by how much. I can't guarantee you that by having a mobile-friendly website, you're automatically going to come up to the top. Again, it depends on how competitive your specific niche or industry is. But at the very least, having a website that loads faster, page loading time, is always been known to be a factor that affects your Google ranking in the search engine.
That makes perfect sense. And if you're a local business and people already kind of know you by name anyway, the SEO may not be nearly as important as them just being able to find you.
Exactly.
By your own name. You know, I need to go to Stoma's, or I need to go to, Carrabba's restaurant, whatever it is. If they know you locally and they can find you by typing in your name, you're ahead of the game.
Exactly.
Okay, so SEO definitely, search engine optimization definitely does come into play, though.
Yes, it does come into play. And again, there's a number of factors that can affect your ranking in the search engine. One thing, especially for mobile marketing, especially if you are a local business, is to claim your location on Google Places. Even if you don't list your website, even if you don't have a website in your local business, you can still claim your listing so that you will come up in local search results. In fact, Google will display those search results at the very top of all of the other results that show up in the organic search results. And you can see this in action. If you go to a desktop computer and you do a search that includes a city name, maybe you want to search for dry cleaners in Atlanta, you'll see a number of local businesses come up, and the ones that Google favors are Google Place listings that are completely filled out, ones that have the actual address, the phone number, the website, even a little bit of information. Those tend to come up higher in the Google Place results than either unclaimed or incomplete Google Place listings.
Now tell people what I know what they are because I do this for my clients all the time, but tell people what Google Places is and how they get to it.
Google Places is simply a directory of local service providers that Google makes. It's basically a directory of business listings, and any business owner can claim their location in Google and come up in the search results. And the way to sign up for a Google Places account is to go to the web address google.com/places. And then there's a little blue Get Started button that you can just click on and start creating your business listing on Google Places. It does require that you have a Google account.
I was going to say you need a Gmail account, a Google account. You can't just use your Outlook or something like that. You do have to have a Google account, don't you?
Correct. You do have to have a Google account, and you're going to
which is free, by the way. For those of you who are listening, there is no cost.
Exactly.
Okay, so, they go and I want to talk about Google profiles while we're on the same Google thing. If you're going to get, I would suggest, honestly, that you get a Google Gmail. Get the Gmail. Try to get your business name. Try to get your name. Try to get something that's going to make sense. Don't get ARP 428. Get something that is going to actually make sense, because then you can create a Google profile where you can put all of your links. You can put a bio. You can put pictures. You can put your business address. You can put a ton of information out there. So it's best to start your branding process there. If you haven't already done so, then you go ahead and you go into your Google Places, and there's just so many tools in the Google apps that are very, very important to have Google Analytics. If you're going to build a website on WordPress, you want to track how your traffic is coming and going, what pages they're coming to, what pages they're staying on, what your bounce rate is. Your bounce rate is, you know, people get there, they spend 2 seconds, they're gone. You need, this is information you need. So Google tools are very, very important. And Google Places, like Ben is saying, is really important, particularly for local businesses. If you're a virtual business like me, not so much. You don't want people coming to your door. Local businesses, I think it's pretty critical, don't you, Ben?
I do, absolutely. And, you know, it's a lot more than just about coming up in the search results when people are looking for a particular type of business in a particular city, because Google Places also allows you to add photos, videos, upload coupons, give people a special discount or coupon for checking into your local business through Google Places. This can also be done through Facebook check-in or even Foursquare check-in. So when you get started in mobile marketing, Google Places is just the very tip of the iceberg. It's the starting point. It's the place where you want to start. If you're not already in Google Places, start there. Sign up your business and get started at least putting that information out there. Then as you get more and more into mobile marketing, then you can start looking at other mobile marketing opportunities like Foursquare and Yelp.
Now, Yelp you have to pay for. That is not free.
Right. Some of these are free and some of them are paid. But again, it all depends on, you know, your particular niche and market. Are the majority of your users on Foursquare? If so, then you need to be where they are. If you're a restaurant, I would say you absolutely need to be on Yelp. But other businesses also are on Yelp. It's not just for restaurants.
Right. And get on Urban Spoon. You know, find a way to get people to talk about you there, which is, you know, of course, an iPhone app. Ben, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, I thought I lost you there for a second. Yeah, there are a lot of different things that you can do. Google tools are your friend. So where else do we go from there?
Again, once you're on Google Places and you have a mobile website, we can kind of maybe talk about the difference between a mobile website and a mobile app, and which one do you really need? Which one is going to be the most cost-effective, which is going to be the best option for actually getting people to come to your door as a local business or any web business for that matter. The difference between a mobile website and a mobile app is that a mobile website can be accessed using any mobile device's browser. So if you have an iPhone or an iPod Touch, or an iDevice, you would be using the Safari web browser on that device to actually access the URL. So a mobile website is any website that can be accessed using the browser of any mobile device. An app, on the other hand, is something that the user actually has to download. And they're two big app markets. There's the Apple market, and then there's the Google Android device market. And if you do have an app, there's a process of submitting the app to the directory, and then once it's included, users actually have to either search for the app or click a link that will take them to the app store where they actually can download your app and install it on their smartphone or mobile device as a little icon that they can click on. Mobile apps and mobile websites can have similar functionality in terms of the type of information that you'll find. Typically, mobile apps are for games, tools, and ideas, resources, making things easy, whereas mobile websites are like the trifold brochure, the simple about us, our services, contact us type of information. Mobile apps can be a lot more complex. They can offer tools like online scheduling or online ordering for products. But again, a lot of the things that a mobile app can do can also be set up to run on a mobile website. So the big question that people have is, which one do you really need? Do you need a mobile app or do you need a mobile website? And my argument would be for the mobile website. I think that's more important than having an actual app. Number one, because a lot of the same things that can be accomplished on a mobile app can also be accomplished on a mobile website. Number two is because of the cost. Mobile apps can get quite expensive. Not only is there typically a monthly hosting fee involved, but in the case of Apple, you actually have to pay $100 or $99 submission fee just to get it included in the App Store, and that's an annual fee. So $100 a year just to have your app even available in the App Store. And that it doesn't matter whether your app is free or whether people actually have to pay to download it. You still have to pay that $100 a year fee to Apple.
And then they don't always accept them, do they, Ben? I mean, there's quite a rigorous process that you have to go through.
Absolutely. It's quite a rigorous process because every app, and this is a difference between the Apple market and the Android market. The Apple market is much tighter control over what apps get included and what the requirements are and the stipulations for what you can do and you can't do. Every app that gets submitted to the Apple Store is reviewed by an actual real person, looks at the app, reviews it, and they'll either accept it or reject it. The Android market is a lot more open. It's easier to get included in the Android market. However, if you're going to have an app at all, you have to be in the not only in the Apple Store, but also in the Android market. So that, again, goes to the cost and why having an app can be so much more expensive than just creating a mobile-friendly website.
Right. And let me ask you this, too, because, again, we were talking about this recently. I have a BlackBerry. You just don't hear much about BlackBerry apps. I feel kind of like the wicked stepchild. Nobody loves us, but we don't get talked about BlackBerry users.
Yeah, they're not. I mean, the two largest markets, obviously, are the Apple devices and the Android
right.
market. And those are the two big app stores that you would have to be in if you're going to develop a mobile app. But you're right.
So basically, by having an app, if I'm hearing this correctly, by having an app, you kind of have to choose a market, or you have to create an app for two markets and never mind the BlackBerry users.
Right.
Is that kind of where that goes?
Exactly.
Oh, what a shame.
My suggestion would be people that have a mobile app should probably, at the very least, also have a mobile website. So if
right.
you have to choose which one would you rather have, I would go with a mobile website. And again, when it comes to cost, there are companies where you can create an app and submit them to the Apple Store and the Android App Store at the same time. Their proprietary software that builds these apps is designed in such a way that it creates the two separate versions at the same time. But again, most of these providers are charging you anywhere from as low as $30 a month up to $70 and $100 a month every single month just to handle the hosting of your app. And it can get mm-hmm. quite expensive to have an actual app.
And especially if it's a free app. I mean, wow. You better be providing some really great information and getting some people some traffic to your website. Otherwise, you're just kind of throwing money out the window.
Exactly. I would definitely not create a mobile app just for the purposes of creating a 3 to 5 page website that people can browse and find information about you. That can be accomplished with a mobile website a lot more effectively than it can with a mobile app.
And a lot more cost efficient too.
One of the arguments people have for selling you on the benefit of having an app is the ability to do push notifications. Yes, if you have an app, you can send out what are called push notifications to the people that have actually downloaded and installed your app. And that's a great benefit because once they've installed the app on their phone and given you permission to send them push notifications, yes, at any time, night or day, you can create a broadcast message and push it out to all of the people that have downloaded your app. But there's two things that I would counter-argue about that. Number one, when people install the app on their iPhone or other mobile device, Android device, they actually have to give it permission to allow push notification. It doesn't happen automatically. In fact, it's a known fact that when you have a ton of apps on your smartphone and they're all set up to receive push notifications, it's the number one thing that drains battery life. So what do people do to conserve their battery life? They go in and they turn off push notifications. You know, I have the Facebook app running on my iPhone, but I've got push notifications turned off because I know when it's running, even in the background, it drains my battery much quicker. So you can't always rely on, even if they've installed the app, you can't always rely on them accepting push notifications automatically.
And then it's kind of the same thing, and let me interrupt here, I'm sorry, you know, we're going back to, you know, article marketing and newsletter articles and things like that, you know, your newsletter list. Not everybody wants that stuff. I mean, some of them just don't opt back in because you have the double opt-in, which is basically what you're talking about here. People just go, I don't know. Let me just not click on the... Before we can send you more information, we have to have your permission, and they just don't. And I suspect that with, you know, what you're talking about, the same thing, people just have a little bit of buyer's remorse and go, I don't think so. It sounded good at the time, or I got tricked in it, but no, I'm not going to do it.
Yeah, and
is that kind of what happens?
Exactly, and I mean, there's so many apps that I've downloaded on my iPhone that I downloaded them once because I thought they were neat and cool, but they're kind of a novelty. Yeah, I might download your app when I first find out about it, but how frequently am I actually going to use it? Most people are using their web browser on their smartphone or mobile device, not the app store to search for you. When they're looking at the local business, they're not looking in the app store. They're looking in the web browser of their device. So when you're deciding whether or not it makes sense to build an app versus a mobile website, think about your visitors and the steps that they're actually going to have to take to use your app or to use a website. Which one makes the most sense? And I would argue that website makes the most sense. And then
I agree.
Again, to counter that argument of that having a mobile app allows you to send push notifications, the same thing can be accomplished through text message marketing. And it's so much more cost effective, in my opinion, to create a VIP text club where people opt into your text list by texting a keyword to a phone number or a five-digit code. And you've seen these before, you know, text GIVE to Red Cross to donate $5 to the Red Cross.
Mm-hmm.
That's what text message marketing is. And it's very cost-effective. There are a lot of different companies that offer text message marketing, and they start as low as $7 a month all the way up to $150 a month and more, depending on how large your text list is and how frequently you send out. But again, the number of people that have text-capable phones is a lot greater than the people that have smartphones. So if you have a text marketing club, you can actually reach a greater percentage of the market than the people that just have smartphones. Yes, the mobile market is growing at a rapid, rapid pace, but there's still a lot of people that have old phones, the quote-unquote dinosaur phones. They can't really browse the web, but they can receive text messages. And I think you know, that's an
interesting. And that makes sense. I hadn't even thought about that.
Exactly. So, you know, I would argue when it comes to push notifications, being able to send text messages would be more effective than sending push notifications through an actual mobile app.
Right. Honestly, I mean, I like the idea of mobile friendly. I think that all of us should have, if we have a website, if we're doing business, we should definitely start looking into mobile friendly. I mean, it is where we're going. We have to go ahead and deal with it. And frankly, it's not that expensive. It seems like it's daunting, and it's a new technology, and people go, oh, my God, what is this going to cost? Ben, address that if you don't mind. I mean, there's cost involved, clearly. But it's not going to be something that you just go, holy cow, I'll come back to this next year. Tell people how they can start planning towards getting mobile friendly. It's just, like you said earlier, it's not going to break the bank.
Yeah, it's absolutely not. And the route that you choose to take depends on whether you're more of a do-it-yourself person, you want to save money, you're a slow entrepreneur, you don't have thousands and thousands of dollars to spend on a mobile app. There are free sites that allow you to create mobile-friendly versions of your existing website. One of those is through Google Sites. Site.google.com/mobilize. This is a website that Google provides that allows you to very easily create your own mobile-friendly website. And you can even use your own custom domain name when creating a site through Google Sites. It's just a matter of changing the DNS record, kind of like changing the name servers, but instead you're just changing one little part.
But that doesn't really allow you to have side-by-side sites, though, does it?
No, it doesn't. So the Google
Sites...
Yeah,
see, that's a problem. That's a
right.
big problem.
The Google Sites option would be if you want to have a mobile website tomorrow and you don't already have an existing website and you don't want to pay a dime, go to Google Sites.
Mm.
Another site is called PixMobi. That's PIXMOBI. This is just another one of the website services that offers mobile websites, the do-it-yourself mobile website builder. They have a free version, and then they have a licensed version that, of course, gives you a lot more functionality, a lot more disk space for storing your stuff, et cetera. So PixMobi is the other one that you can look at. And, again, if you just go to Google and you search for free mobile website builder or tools or whatever, you're going to come up with all kinds of different companies that are offering both free and paid mobile design services. Another one that offers a free version is called mobify.me, M-O-B-I-F-Y.me. This is, again, a service that allows you to take an existing website, run it through their system, and convert it to a mobile version. I actually tried this tool the other day, and
I hated it.
It looked like it was going to take me an hour just to figure out how to use it. It does look very powerful, but again, it had a little bit of a learning curve. And then
my concern is that we really need to be able to run them side by side. We need to have a regular website. You know, for people who are using desktop searches for whatever the reason, or maybe you have a website that is a community site. You know, it's a continuity program. You've got a lot of things going on. You can't necessarily not have that site. You have to have it. But you need a mobile site for other people as well to get to it, to kind of poke around. So my concern is that some of these free sites are going to allow you one but not the other.
Right, exactly. And that's, again, why I'm a big advocate of WordPress. Not only is it the world's most powerful publishing tool, but it also allows you to have a single website that delivers a desktop version and a mobile version all in the same installation. There's not two separate places to manage. There are plugins that you can install that allow the browser to automatically detect whether it's on a mobile device or whether it's a desktop, and then it will load or display the mobile version of your site if they're on a mobile device or the regular PC version if they're on a desktop. And again, that's a good question. That another common question people have, should it automatically load the mobile site if they're visiting the site on a visiting your regular website on a mobile device? And should you give people the option to switch back to the full version of your site? And I would say yes. I think it's good to give people the option of switching between the mobile version of your site and the full version. And here's why. With larger screen devices like the iPad and the Kindle Fire,
I was looking at one yesterday on Kindle Fire. The regular website looked fabulous.
Exactly.
It really did. But when I looked at the same site on my mobile device, it was horrible on my BlackBerry. So you do have to have that option. There's no question about it.
So I say it makes sense to give people the option. Even those are scripts that will automatically load the mobile version behind the scenes if they're on a mobile device. I've also seen websites that instead of just automatically loading the mobile version, it will actually give you a little pop-up message that says, it looks like you're viewing our site on a mobile device. Would you like to view our mobile site? And you can choose, yes, view the mobile version, or no, take me to the full site. I think giving people a choice of which one they would rather view is a good thing. It's a usability feature that I think is a good touch. Giving them a switch back and forth between the full version or the mobile version is really good. Probably the most popular WordPress plugin for instantly creating a mobile-friendly version of your site is a plugin called WP Touch. And this is the literally install and activate plugin that will give you a mobile version of your site just by activating the plugin. There is a free version of the plugin, and then there is a premium version that gives you more advanced customization options, like being able to brand the mobile version with your colors and your logo and customized menu link. So if you have an existing WordPress website and you don't already have a mobile-friendly version, install that plugin to get started. It's called WP Touch. You can just search for it under the plugin section of your dashboard, and it'll come right up. But then when you're really serious about taking it further, consider the advanced or the premium version of the WP Touch plugin, because that's going to give you much greater control in making sure that your mobile website looks as close as possible in terms of style and color and branding as your existing website.
Now, that leads me to a question that I got in an email earlier. People think that WordPress is magic. So do I. So do you. It's magic. So the question is, and I guess this makes perfect sense, because thinking that WordPress is magic, you just automatically assume that it can do anything, including making toast. It can't. So the question that I got in an email earlier was, if I have a WordPress site already, isn't it mobile-friendly by default? And your answer?
The answer is no.
That's what I thought.
WordPress websites are not automatically mobile-friendly. There are WordPress themes that are designed to be mobile-friendly, but not every WordPress theme is created equal, and not every website is automatically mobile just because it's built in WordPress. The best way to find out what your website looks like in a mobile device, take a look at it on your actual mobile device. That's one of the frustrations of designing for mobile devices is most people only have one or maybe two smart devices. They might have an iPad or they have an Android or BlackBerry, but there's so many different brands and makes and models of mobile devices that it can be hard to test what your site looks like in mobile devices. There's two options. There are websites that you can go to simulate what your site will actually look like in a mobile device. But then the other option is to actually go to the mall and just visit some of these, visit the T-Mobile store and look at your website on one of their demo MyTouch screens. Go to the Apple store or an Apple reseller. Pick up an iPad and type your web address in. It's a free way to see what your website looks like without having to shell out hundreds of thousands of dollars on all the different mobile devices. If you have a friend that has an Android, say you have an iPhone and you know a friend that has an Android, well, send them the link to your website and say, hey, can you check this out for me and see what it looks like? The best way to know is to actually test it yourself or have a friend test it for you and get feedback. And then, of course, you want to make sure that it looks as decent as possible on a wide variety of mobile devices, but if you thought that designing for the desktop was a challenge, trying to get it to
it is.
Internet Explorer and Firefox and Safari and Chrome and Opera and all these browsers,
right.
it is 1,000 times more difficult to make it happen in mobile devices just because there's no standard. Not only is there no standard screen size in mobile devices, but there's also so many different operating systems, and they all run a slightly different version of web browsers. So getting your site to look exactly identical from one device to the next on a mobile device is going to be next to impossible. What you've got to do is design it the best that you can, and get it, you know, get it looking as well as you can on all of the devices, because otherwise you could
keep it simple. Actually, I think is the best thing, don't you, Ben? Just keep it simple.
Keep it simple.
And that leads me to my next question. So, you know, do you have to have two separate versions of the site? Because you do want to keep it simple on the mobile version, no question. Or can you imagine the content from a single location being WordPress?
You can manage the content from a single location. You can have a single WordPress website that has a mobile version and a desktop version, but you manage the content from the same place. You have one WordPress dashboard that you log in and manage the content. That will work in the vast majority of cases. There are instances where I would argue having a completely separate mobile version makes sense, particularly if your existing WordPress website is incredibly complex. I'm talking hundreds of thousands of pages, and you know, if you're trying to convert a website that has, you know, 100 different pages, I'm talking pages, not posts, but pages, it can get very ugly and nasty looking in a mobile device. But if your website is, you know, traditional, you're using WordPress as a content management system, you have between 8 and 12 just regular, normal WordPress pages in a menu bar, then you should be fine. Install the plugins that will handle the mobile detection, optimize your site for mobile devices, and you should be fine to be able to manage it from a single installation.
Right. Ben, I can't believe we are out of time. Tell people where they can find you on the web, and then we'll go over what we're going to talk about next week and possibly the week after that, because this is a huge topic. There's a lot to cover. We're definitely on for next week. We may have to talk about bringing you back for a third installation. We'll just see where the next one goes, but tell people where they can find you on the web and on Facebook.
Well, I would love to connect with people on Facebook. My Facebook page is bencope.me. You go to bencope.me. That will take you directly to my Facebook page. That's probably the best place to connect with me because you can comment on the page, ask questions. You can connect with me, become a fan. You'll find my contact information on there as well, which will take you over to my regular website, Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn. I'm all over the place, but that's probably the best way to connect with me is on Facebook.
And tell people why you did the bencope.me. I'm sure a lot of people are saying, what? What is that?
Yeah, the web address on Facebook is facebook.com/theinternetgenius, but I liked bencope.me because it's a custom URL that I can put on my business cards and hand out. Plus, it's a lot easier for people to remember. It's very short and sweet. It's not hard. So, and anybody can do that with any domain name, whether it's a .me or a .com. You can register the domain and then set it up to automatically forward to whatever domain name that you want. So it's a great way to make your website memorable, but without it having to be super long.
Right, and I wanted to get that in because that's so important. So we have 60 seconds before the show stops streaming, and we have a lot of people in the guest room and, you know, and waiting on lines. We're not going to be able to get anybody on lines. We will be back next week. But next week we're going to be talking about all kinds of stuff, QR codes, quick response codes, business cards. We're going to be talking about common questions that people have about mobile sites, options for creating a mobile-friendly website. We'll give you some more tips and actionable advice that you can take, you have places that you can go. Some of that is already in the chat room. But you can also connect with either me or Ben on Facebook, Ben Cope on Facebook, Denise Griffiths on Facebook. We are very easy to find. We're very responsive when we get questions. We're going to be talking about a lot of resources and best practices for mobile websites. Again, we have a ton of stuff to share here today. And Ben, thank you so much for being here with me today. You've given some really great information to our listeners, and I know they appreciate it. I know they're getting a ton out of it, and they're going to be back next week. If you weren't able to listen to the whole show today, be sure to go to Blog Talk Radio, download it in about 10 or 15 minutes. You can also find us in iTunes. So, Ben, thank you, and I'll see you next week.
Thank you, Denise.
Well, this is Denise Griffiths and Ben Cope wishing you a wonderful weekend, a happy Friday the 13th, and I will see you next week. And so will Ben, as a matter of fact. Goodbye, everybody.
Please leave your message after the tone.